Egypt saw that pillar of fire, but it didn't mean a thing to them. They saw that cloud. They saw the firstborn deceased before you. It only angered them. What should we expect in this hour when we have the scientific proof? We have, thus saith the Lord, the miracle of conviction and vindication. We know it's only going to make the world angry. So, Lord, we ought to be prepared for it. We thank you that you are strength, that that cloud protected them in the heat, and that fire gave them warmth when it's cold. The flinty rock, not the little soft rock, little spring, the flinty rock brought forth the water of life, and Christ was that rock. And it followed them. He was above them. He was before them. He was in the prophet following. Same pillar of fire leading us to the millennium. These things are factual. Help us to receive everything else with it that's factual. That we do not be carried away, Lord, simply with thy greatness and miss your wisdom. To miss all the essentiality of yourself which you are willing to give us today. May we understand and know with the spiritual depth which is fired by the true love, respect, adoration, and admission to yourself, giving you the preeminence in all things, knowing you who work all things after the counsel of your own will are working us the same and bringing us to perfection, seeing us in that great city with the Lamb. We see this, Lord, it is true now. We pray you'll impress it upon us and whatever we need. This morning we pray you'll help us to receive, Lord. We're just throwing it all back on you because that's the way it's going to have to be this morning, Lord, and I'm just not worried about it. I'm trusting you as the people are because you've given us of your grace and sharing your glory. This we know to be true because one cannot be without the other. For this is Malachi, this is 2 Thessalonians. This is the end time standing at the door and knocking. This is you bringing your bride in, having beheld you. Shutting the door, taking us to the tree of life, having raised the dead, summoning to the wedding supper, to the incarnation. What a marvelous thing. We know this is true because it is true. It has been vindicated. As that man said so clearly, even better than we have said it. There's no doubt this is it. That's it. God spoke and the vindication substantiates the word. Let's go to the Word. Bless your people this morning, Lord. I know you are and you will. You shall continue because you are that sweet Spirit of Christ that is here. We honor and recognize you, Lord, not as we should, but you'll help us to. And in the continuation of sanctification, growth with lies within yourself that you have placed in us, come up now to a headship spiritually, then into a physical, and then beyond and beyond. To the very presence of God, the pillar of fire over the Lamb on the throne, and we there, and your glory. Lord, I know that at this point it's beyond us because we haven't been fitted to it. We've been fitted to a body commensurate so that the Holy Spirit can take control and bring us subject to the Word. But what a day when the temporary is gone. We're spiritual bodies, as it were. Not without flesh, but flesh glorified and progressing. Father, help us to see that. That we're going on and on and on. Just like Brother Branham used to tell us of the dear lady who said, well, I certainly am not what I want to be, and I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I sure am not what I used to be. I'm going on, Lord. Help your people. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm going to stagger through my notes. And if you hold on to your chairs, you can sort of stagger with me. But Before I get into a little message, I want to talk to you about Daniel's 70th week, which troubles people. And I may not rid you of your doubts. I am not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit to convict you. But I will tell you what I see as I read from Daniel, the 9th chapter, 20 to 27, wherein when Brother Branham spoke on the 70th weeks of Daniel, Brother Junior Jackson, I believe it was, said, Brother Branham, would you come and hear me preach it? I'm sure it was Junior. It might have been Brother Ruddle, but anyway, one of the brethren. I know them. So that person preached the sermon after Brother Branham, and Brother Branham said, you misunderstood me, or I sure did not tell you right. There are not 7 years left. There are only 3.5. This now puts you into the position of wondering concerning the Scripture, what is really right. Just for the, what you might call the curiosity, a sort of oblique and tainted interest, I looked up the Lama translation from the Aramaic, and I got nothing but utter confusion. So I said, what is utter confusion in the light of a prophet with thus saith the Lord? Forget it. So I went back to my King James Version, which I'm going to read to you from Daniel 9, 20 to 27. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, which is in the word of God, the priest will go between the porch and the altar confessing his sins and the sins of the people. You ever stop to think that you got a job to confess people's sins for them? Well, brother, if I can just take care of myself. Honey, I appreciate that's lovely, but you're meant to take care of somebody else too. You know, I'm going to go through those pearly gates with 12 miles on each side just to waltz and in. You better figure I'm going to be there. You're not supposed to make this alone. Jesus made the journey to Emmaus, and he didn't make it alone. He drew over to those people, you know. He said, hey, these are my kind. Now, they don't know too much, but I'm going to enlighten them. So Daniel's a true servant of God. So he goes in, first of all, he confesses his own sins. Oh, God, he said, I'm rotten. When I look around, all I see is rotten. But you're God. I'm going to look to you. Hey, this fellow's got something on the ball. You listen. Confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel. Hey, I was talking about that this morning. My brothers, my sisters. I want to take a good look at you. I'll see if I like what I see. Well, I don't think I see too much, shall I? There's a mirror here, I'd see something I liked a whole lot less. So we look in the Word and we see everybody a child of Jesus. I like this guy. You can see he's caliber. You know what Brother Branham said? He talked about the bride and he was talking to, hey, there must have been foolish birds in there piled like cordwood that was going to run a steamer straight down the Mississippi River. And he smiled and he said, Tommy, and he said, by grace, I count myself with you. And I said, boy, that's just not grace, that's a lie. No! He told the truth. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them which are his. Elisha goes down the road and finds some poor little old pooped out widow woman. Her stomach's caving in. She got one little bit of wood to make a little bit of mush for her and the boy, and she's going to die. Boy, did he pick a character to come and get some help from. God said, that's the one going to sustain you. Oh, he said, do tell. She looks so beautiful. You know what I'm talking about? We need that. We need to let the spirit of suspect go to the spirit of a confirmation. And he said, I prayed for my sins because, Lord, I looked in the mirror and I look ugly. And I looked at these people and I know that they aren't doing too well. He presented my supplication before the Lord my God and for the holy mountain of my God. A holy people in a holy convocation. Leaving your sins outside the door forever under the blood of Jesus Christ. While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the visions of the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked, and he said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Hey, so I'm going to give thee ability and to know what to do with it. You're just a man I'm looking for, and God's going to endow you so that you've got what it takes, and you'll do it. And your brother Branham had the same thing, and they said, give me the ball, Bill. Give me the ball. Get out of my way. I can do that. I'll show you how to get across. Step aside, boy. Yeah, he had a manager with him. He took him over to Europe. I won't tell you his name. I told you before, if you can't remember that, good. When they got to Egypt, he was so drunk drinking free cocktails. Ha! He got off the plane goose-stepping, and everybody laughed and thought it was great. When he got to India, they said to Brother Branham, is it okay for the father to have women? I read about Daniel. Oh, he didn't have any trouble, Daniel. He was in the lion's den and everything was so good. And he had everybody around him so nice. He had it so smooth. Haw. Horse feathers. Hogwash. There's a man that stood alone. Trouble was counted for his people. They sing the song, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, and don't even know what they're saying. It means just stand outside the crowd and, you know, sort of look them over. It means to get in there, work amongst them, and be a Daniel. A leader that shows them love and sympathy, humility and service. For the greatest of all is a servant to all. The Son of Man came not to serve, to be served, but to serve. Ah, Daniel's a good old brother. I love him. Now, I'm no relation to him except spiritually. So don't get confused. I'm not talking about Lee Vale. I'd be talking about William Branham and Daniel. I'm come forth now to give thee understanding. I'm come forth to let my spirit of wisdom and knowledge and revelation of him come upon you and prove it to the people. Right? Ephesians 1 and 17. You're going to tell me the Bible ever changes and God's ways ever change? You're going to tell me that what he did once he doesn't do over and over again? As the prophet said, if he's saved by the blood the first time, he's got to do it every single time. If he did it for this man that way, and of course that means a special mission, special man, he's got to do it again. Can't you see William Branham at the end time? Now William Branham is going to tell you about this 70th week. And if I'm right, I'll help explain it. If I'm wrong, you ain't going to get hurt. Okay? All right. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth. And I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, here's what it is. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Now, it tells you right there it's determined the people and the city and the transgression will be finished. To make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy. Notice that's in there too. And to anoint the most holy. I won't go into that. Brother Branham mentions the temple, the most holy and things like that. I won't touch it. But I want to get to you why there's 3.5 weeks and what the middle is. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, and the wall shall be built again, even in troublous times, and after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be caught up. Now notice there's going to be 7 weeks and 60, that makes 69, and after that Messiah is cut off, and there's 7 altogether, 70, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and the end of the war, desolations are determined. And shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall call the sacrifice and oblation to cease. The overspreading of abomination shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that's determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now he's bringing us right up to this present time. And you know that after the Second World War, there has not been one time of peace. Everybody's embroiled in something. Something is going on. There has been no peace whatsoever. And you will notice that this time, according to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, two spirits have been revealed. The Spirit of God that heads up the church having come down right there over Brother Branham in the flame of pillar fire, and the Spirit of the Antichrist that followed, and it is not called the Spirit of Antichrist, that is called the days of the Son of Man. Now remember in Thessalonians it says, the son of perdition. Now who was the son of perdition? The son of perdition was Judas. So therefore now you have a spirit of Judas upon the people that are false and the Spirit of God upon the truth. And William Branham was the true vine. And as soon as he came on the scene, Judas came on the scene, the son of perdition, and these men were correctly anointed by the Holy Ghost to do signs and wonders and miracles, but off the word to fool the people. Then there comes a time when the son of perdition is fully manifested in human flesh, and then he's destroyed by the presence of Almighty God. But there are two presences. There are the presence of spirit, which takes over men, number one Brother Branham, then the false prophets, then the false teachers, then will come the real Christ positively upon earth, who comes back here with us, and he will be a man incarnate, and at that time he'll destroy the incarnate one who was already manifested under the spirit of the Son of Man. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't just get the tapes, you've been neglecting something. See? So now he's bringing us right up to the time. Okay. Now, I'm going to read my notes if I can read. A. 70 weeks constitute the whole prophetic history until the millennium, even though Daniel saw beyond that to the white throne. And William Branham categorically said in Malachi 4, we're leaving neither root nor branch, he said, then how can you say there is an eternal hell? William Branham in two places said we're standing before the white throne. Now, I want to tell you something. You say, well, Brother Vail, add justice and so. I'm going to tell you something. You are not spiritual. I am sorry for you. I love you. But you are not spiritual. You are yet carnal because you will not let your thinking go. And you know better than a prophet. Then why didn't you do what the prophet did? You can't even stand beside me for 15 minutes. I challenge our church many a time, I'll give you 12 hours against my 15 minutes, and it's a bluff because nobody can stand 12 hours. I'd fall asleep and they'd fall asleep, and the rest of the folk would go and say, blue. When they got through with their 12 hours, I'd say 5 minutes, be all over. You say, you're boasting. No, I'm not. Amen. Well, because we are before the white throne. We are. Where do you think you're going? You follow what I'm saying? Now here, B, A week in Scripture is 7 years, a year per day. Thus, there are 490 years of prophetic history. And it is the prophetic history deals positively with the Roman Empire, which was the wound of the beast that God healed under the Papal Empire or the Holy Roman Empire, which exists today where they've got the gold and the Jews got the paper, so there's a conflict. Why do you think that the Catholics hate the Jews? They're nice people. There's a conservative bunch that are beautiful, wonderful people. Then there's a Wall Street cut you don't give a nickel for. I'm just talking what Brother Branham said. There, they count. There's something going on. Golda Meir had no business going to see the Pope. And when she got finished, she was spitting tacks. And the Pope has reiterated, Jerusalem is going to be a central city for all religions, bless God, and we are going to take control. We are living at the end of the years. We're living at the end of the 70th week. We're waiting for the millennium to come in a temple worship. We're waiting for the further sanctification. We're waiting for the whole thing to melt together, where there's neither Greek nor Jew nor Gentile. There's children of Almighty God under sanctification, growing up past the white throne to the New Jerusalem. This is Scripture I'm talking to you about. Brother Branham placed it. Let's go further. Number three. This period of time is divided into three parts, 7 weeks. Well, 7 times 7 is 49. 2, 62 weeks. What's that, about 434? Who knows? I can't math. Yeah, 434. 1 week. Okay. Let's read Daniel 9, 25, 27 again. Know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment. Now, that was given under the two great men, Ezra and Nehemiah, to restore and to build Jerusalem. Unto Messiah, the prince, should be 7 weeks and 80 in 2 weeks. So there's 69 weeks. And the streets will be built again. And the wall, even in troublous times. And boy, did they have a troubled time. The Bible distinctly said they held a spear in one hand and a sword and a mortar and a box and a trowel in the other. And they said, just let those boots come near the wall. We'll get them. Hey, I like that tough bunch of babies. They didn't let the bars down for the goats to come in. Well, they said to those priests that had married foreign women, and that's what an illegitimate child was when a man took a foreign woman, not an Israelite. I think that's exactly why God said to David, he said, have it when he took Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And yet I think, according to Scripture, that Uriah was a proselyte. And he could have had a right to this Israelitish woman. And so when David took her, had a child by her, and the child had to die, and Nathan came and laid the blame on David, and here's what he said to David. God said to him, have I ever withheld anything from you? If he'd have wanted that woman, listen to me. I believe God would have destroyed Uriah, and David could have had her. But David took things in his own hands. For God's sake, young people, don't take things in your hands. Ask God if that's the girl for you. Have at least as much stupid common sense as I had. I said, God, I'm the marrying kind. Give me the right wife or I'll mess up. Hey, man, I found out years later he gave me something better than I ever dreamed of. I was still looking at the you know, the pretty blonde floosies, you know, the tippy-tippy-toe, and the up, and he looks the cutie-cute. Why, my wife looks better. I'd have married one of those gals. Whoo! My God, have pity. I know old age, it makes your eyesight bad, so everybody looks prettier. So she's prettier than ever. I'm prettier than ever. Oh, life is good. Don't get mixed up thinking you're some David. You're stupid. I mean it. I know people think I'm tough on kids, but people in my church know I love little kids and they love me. Not just I give them quarters, because I stopped giving them quarters. My hands are too bad. I just can't do the things that pick them up. My back hurts at times. I would pick every kid. I'd give them a horseback ride. Give them everything I had. They know I love them. I'm nasty, but I just, hey, anybody's nasty because they love you. Anyway, this man, David, he did wrong in this particular respect. So we were reading 25 to 27. Now he said here, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That's exactly what Rome did in 70 AD, the battle of Masada. Morris Sorella went over there, took all kinds of films, made himself a great name. And he was very smart. He could come back and pass the pocketbook, and oh boy, would it fill up after that. Hey, if you want a real trick, let me tell you how to do it, boys. I can't do it, I'm too old. Might give me arthritis. But you go over there where the tomb of Christ is and you tell the folk I'm going over and for $100 I'll pray for you when I get in the tomb. And when you come back, you say, oh, I made a mistake. It should have been 200. And I really prayed 300 worth. Listen, you think I'm teasing you. Did you know when I laughed and made you laugh, I was telling you the truth? Do you know I got letters like that? Don't look so sour, Brad. You didn't get them. I did. I'm going to pray in the tomb. Can you send me $50? I'll send you $150 if you stay there. I'm lying to you guys. Come on. God can be bought for nothing, sold for a billion, but one day he said, I want my interest. And he's an interesting God. You don't pay your tithes, you owe him 20% when you do. I'm not asking for money. I'm just telling you, hey, don't fool with God. What makes you think we can fool with God? I'm sorry, folk, we are not reverent enough, and you notice I didn't. He's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week shall he cause the sacrifice, the oblation to cease, for in the overpowering abomination shall make it desolate, even until the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolation. I read it. Okay, now D. Now here is where the average reader goes astray. It is in verse 25, wherein they count 49 years, 7 times 7, then 62 times 7, 434, but they do not add the 70th week at that time. Now, you know that's the truth. Come on here, fundamentalists. How many ever read your Bibles? Thank you. Don't worry about it. Put your hands up this way. How many ever read Daniel? Now, the next question, put your hands up. How many really got puzzled when Brother Branham said, no, there's only 3.5 years left, and it's the midst of those 3.5 years, and everybody calls it the midst of the week, which is 7 years, and you're still buffaloed. Let me see. Caught a bunch of liars here, haven't I? Yeah, I'm going to talk to you. I know you're embarrassed to raise your hands. I'm the same way. I don't like raising my hands for nothing. I'm chicken. I pretend I'm an eagle, but I'm a chicken. All right. Certainly, that's exactly where Junior made his mistake, or Brother Ruddle. Brother Brandon said, no, 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 there are not 7 years, there are 3.5. And they said, well, Brother Brandon, what does it mean then, the midst of the week? He said, in the middle of the 3.5 years. Oh, boy. I thought I got the soup a little thickened when I poured the first bit of arrowroot in. When Brother Branham poured his potato starch in, I got a plate of mush. But you know, thank God people took it. I like that. Don't question. Vindicated prop. Right. He said blacks, green, green, blacks on. Is that being foolish, is it? My Bible says the wisdom of man is foolish to God and the wisdom of God is foolish to man. So let's be fools for Christ. Like the guy going down the street, Brother Branham, come in and he said, I was in California and I saw these kids going down the street. The front side said, I'm a fool for Christ. And on the back it says, whose fool are you? All right. But they did not add the 70th. Rather, they came up to the Messiah week or the Messianic week or 7 years and displaced it. They put it at the end of this world's government and made 7 complete years to go. And they don't know where to start the 70th week, but they know it will start, and they know it's going to be 7 years, and they know there's going to be fussing and fuming for 3.5, and then the Antichrist is going to put the steel trap on them, and that's it, and the bride's gone. That is not it. There's only 3.5 years. However, if you notice verse 4, you will see the word reconciliation for iniquity, which means atonement, is in the full 70 weeks. So the 70th week had to be there with Christ because he is our atonement. You follow me? That's true. So they must have stuck it in the 69th. Or they had their own revelation and said, well, there's that. This is all true, but you understand. There's 69 and there's one, and in between, which is indeterminate, the little thing that God himself can do and just sort of kind of tease us all along, he did it when Jesus died. That is a life in the pit of hell. Because that is not what the Bible said. The Bible said 70 weeks are determined to do it. So don't you add one more day. You follow me? The fundamentalists are wrong. A vindicated prophet is right. All right. Since only Christ can atone, it means that according to verse 25, the Christ appears in the 62-week period, which is definitely the 69th, because it says in 26, after that 62-week period, Messiah is cut off, which means it's got to be in the 70th. Right? Hey, if I tear pages, where are they? 915 to 922 out of my Bible, don't you tell me I'm not looking at page 923. Because you're nuts. Right. You're wrong. You blew it. You know more than God. He said it was after that. And in the midst of the 70th, the cutoff. So 70 follows 69, period. I don't care what the fundamentalist said. You get your wires straight this morning. And I don't care what you think the Bible says. Right? Right? Of course not. You don't believe that. Bless God, Brother Dale, I can read. I'll tell you one thing. There's a few people here got a better vocabulary than I have, but not very many. I'll give you 20 minutes up here to prove it. In other words, I'm just challenged. You ain't as smart as you think you are. Peter's the smartest chemist driven around for miles. I've asked him questions he couldn't answer. But I'm right because I read it. Came out the paper the other day, they're injecting female swine ovaries with human cells. The government will not let you take pictures of them. It's hidden. One fella got to see it, and all those little, what do they call them, humanals, they got arthritis. They can't walk. You know why? The poor rascals are humidified. My God, don't wish that on a pig. They're trying to get human spare parts. Peter says they're doing it. Now, he's the guy that knows what's in the laboratory. He's with Eli Lilly, one of the bigger shots, not the big shot, but he's What, you got 300 men under you? Not right now. Or you had a bunch of it. Yeah, 100. He had a whole bunch before. Peter ain't no fool. You ought to talk to him about his uncle. No, he's not his uncle. What's your uncle? 28 states he's got license as a doctor? Focus. Every state in the union, his uncle is qualified. He's nicer and smarter than his uncle. So if you think our church doesn't have smart people in it, you are completely wrong. I don't believe there's a church in the world has the brains that our church has, and any church any stupider. I'm saying this on purpose to let you know, don't you let your brains get in the way of the Word of God, because I've seen it happen. And I'm not finished. I'm going to just say this and let you go home because I love you. 20 more pages of notes on love. Can you take it? You're sweet, Peter. But you got stamina like a herd of buffalo, and I don't have it. Your father-in-law is getting old like me. All right, I'm going to keep reading. So they now, they put this at the end of the world's government. However, as I said, if you notice 24, the words reconciliation, iniquity, which means atonement, is in the full 70 weeks. It is not in a little mid-period. Since only Christ can atone, it means that the, according to verse 25, that Christ appears, he has to come in the 69th week to be cut off in the middle of the 7th week on account of his age. Because it says after 62-week period, Messiah is cut off, which means that is during the 70th week. Now, Brother Branham correctly said, and here's the revelation. Christ's prophetic ministry was 3.5 years. Now, why did he say prophetic? Because he is the prophet. He's the Messiah. Oh, I love it. I shouldn't ask. You know, hey, listen, I'm so caught in ticks and sarcastic, I can't help myself. I just love to rub it in. And that ain't nice. So you pray for me. Say, please, Lord, make Brother Vale sweet, because he can be sweet because he eats so much candy. He's got to show somewhere. Just had fruit for breakfast. Will not be nice? Okay, if I be nice, you pray I'm nice. All right. Can't help it. I'm going to hit you. After the 67th week period, Messiah is cut off, which means during the 70th. Christ's prophetic ministry. This is called the prophetic ministry. This is called by that man who is vindicated, and that is a pillar of fire. And if you do not believe that's a pillar of fire, you are excused. But if you believe that's the pillar of fire, I am telling you the truth. And if you sit there with unbelief, your goose is cooked. Because you don't believe. Now, we showed you Friday night. Nobody believes as they ought to believe. Why do you think Brother Branham wept when he left the scene? That his name would be pulled down in the cult. The people carried away with tiddly-wink-dee-wink-dee-wink. They couldn't even be serious. Hey, I know what I'm talking about. I'm that way. And yet some of you guys got enough VCRs for you and your kids. You should be ashamed of yourselves. We need a cleaning up. Come on, don't just aim me. Let's get it done. Brother Branham mentioned, we're not fit to be called bride. Now, Brother Branham categorically called this the 3.5 years of Christ's prophetic ministry because he was the prophet. The Word of God absolutely says over there in Deuteronomy chapter 18, a prophet, a prophet, a prophet, a prophet, a prophet shall God raise up from amongst your brethren like unto me. Did he? Then what were they looking for? Prophet. Oh, Brother Dale, I don't think they were.
Because you can tell they weren't. That's the whole thing. He came according to the Scripture, but not according to their revelation of it. Quoting William Branham. I can quote myself. What good quote myself? I can quote myself day and night. I can become a cooeyist. Look in the mirror. Every day, in every way, you're looking better and better. And my wife says, hey, boy, you look punk. Mirror, mirror on the wall, shut up. I'm talking to my wife. Mirror, mirror on the wall, I look better and better, don't I? That's right. Boy, you're crazier than I am. See what I mean? That's her attitude. It sounds crazy. It sounds like I'm just making you laugh. But this is the truth. I lived around Brother Branham. I never knew such sobriety and reverence. And the greatest part of love is respect. Husband, if you respect your wife, you'll treat her like a queen. Woman, if you respect your husband, he'll be your king. He can't live without you. You can't live without him because they're one. How would you like me to run you through a buzzsaw just right down through here? That's what divorce does. That's what wrong marriage does. When I see our young people and I see their adoration toward each other and I see young people that I think, my God, if they could be in the ministry, and I know they can't because they're not built that way. They love their wives. They have their wives, their everything, and their families. They couldn't go on the road like I did. And I love my wife, but I had to do what I had to do. And I say, son, I love you, but I couldn't have you around me for $1 million. But you got to pay a price. I don't know what I'm talking about. Brother Branham went through it. Most everybody does if you're in the ministry. If you think you're called, you better make sure it wasn't some little bird in your shoulder quacking at the duck. Well, we'll get to talking about the truth. Don't worry. All right, listen. Christ's prophetic ministry. Everybody says Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Atonement, atonement, atonement. That's what it says here, but he's a prophet. And in the prophetic ministry, he does this. Why? Because God is in the prophets. Right? 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 Then who's going to die? Prophet! Oh, come on. And God's his own prophet. And God was in Christ. In the middle of the week. So the 70th week is half over. And the second half is at the end time when Antichrist comes. So Christ and Antichrist share the 70th week. The question arises. How can it be in the midst of the week, which week is supposed to be 7 years, and yet the prophet says only 3.5 remain? Now see, that's where we're stuck, right? Let's find out. Number one, by reading as I have read, it was revealed by vindication to the prophet, only 3.5 year remain. It is in the midst of the 3.5 years that the covenant is broken. That is thus saith the Lord. Now you realize that's a stinger. Here the Bible says, I got a cake. That cake is 7 inches wide. And the prophet says, I got news for you. Somebody came along and ate 1/2 the cake. Hey, just a minute. Somebody ate 1/2 my cake? I'll tell you something. I ain't paying for it. He said, Brother Bill, what's the comparison? I just told you. You don't believe the half the cake's eaten. You won't take it. You won't accept it. It's your thinking. But you're thinking wrong. Because you're not thinking according to the Bible. And I'm not that smart that I could either. But you see, brother, sister, you have got to believe and then you receive. Pentecost, and if you believe, you will receive. If you believe, you will receive. If you believe, you will receive. Here's the money coming. The money I can get you. Prophet of God, vindicated. If you believe, you will receive 3.5 years. Huh. It's money, 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 money. Healing, healing, healing. Here's this guy I read about on Friday. He knew what a miracle was all about. He understood prophecy, what it's based on. Pentecostals understand nothing. Brother Branham said, this age is insane. Well, how are you going to lose your insanity to the divine miracle working power? It's the Word. And a prophet takes the Word and explains it. I know you still love me. I just wanted to have to ask you to, because that's beside the point. Whether you love me or not is not a thing to do with it. Number two, I will answer by the historians and archaeologists who are vindicated not only by history, but by Brother Branham, who said, thus saith the Lord. You ready for him? Get your Bibles. I want you to read it. In case you think fast talk and Lee Dale is going to pull one over your pretty little eyeballs. That is not my purpose. We will go to the 12th chapter of Matthew, I hope. I'm hoping correctly. We'll now read in verses 38, and you will hear this. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Now, before we read any further, before Almighty God, I do not ask you to raise your hands and swear. But I ask you to raise your hands and pray to God to help you believe what Brother Branham said about this. Shall we do it? Get your hands up or leave the building. Because I don't need your unbelief. Everybody, the best of your ability, we'll ask God to help you believe what the prophet said. All right, put your hands down. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now that's what he said about Jonah. That's what the Bible said. I will now ask anybody in this building, and please do not be embarrassed. Please, I'm not here to embarrass you. It's fun doing it. Now, you know, I got to relax you. Some preacher or somebody tell me what Brother Branham said this meant. Because the fundamental says he had to die on Wednesday to be Thursday to be Friday to Saturday to get up Sunday morning. Brother Branham categorically said that he was crucified on Friday. So Brother Branham was an idiot. What did Brother Branham say this meant by divine revelation? Roger, tell me. Jack, tell me. Terry, tell me. Anybody, tell me. Norman.
He said any part of the day is considered a full day.
No, he didn't, but you're pretty close. But you're right. He said it means within. What are you guys embarrassed about? You're too Pentecostal. Within 3 days. Now study the archaeologists. And they will tell you any part of a day constitutes a day, as any part of an hour means an hour, as any part of a year means a year, as any part of a month means a month. So, if there's so-called 3.5 years that you think that you know anything about, let me assure you, by divine revelation and archaeological proof, 3.5 years is considered a year. 7 years, rather, or a complete week. Now, see, you got to ask God to help you because I'm telling you the truth. You don't believe it. Or do you? Now, if you think I'm pulling a deal on you, you get this flat. I am not pulling a deal on you because I have read the books. And you haven't. And I can show you where no archaeologist will give anybody credit for what Christians say because they know better. And you're still bumfuzzled. How can it be? How can it be? Well, it is. Why don't you bust a few atoms? Kind of stupid, ain't you? Don't believe. Brother Branham said, in the midst of the week, and it is still a week, because it is a part. And I challenge you to get the archaeological magazine and any archaeological person you want, and you will find that is exactly how they reckon things, and that's why the Chinese even reckon your birthday. You are not 0 years old. When you are born, you are 1 year old. But us white guys is so smart. Let's go, we change numbers anytime we want, because we not brain. And we're not brain, we can do what we want. He said, why are you talking that way? Because Jimmy Ray said, I may have a cleft palate, but I'm the best salesman there is. Because to understand me, you've got to listen real hard, and I can tell you. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, and you believe not. William Branham told us the truth, and we don't believe. We still hear saying, well, 3 days and three nights. Well, they got crucified Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock. That goes Friday. That goes Saturday. Bless you. Hallelujah. Sunday morning, he's up there. Hey! You haven't got guts, have you? Come on. Come on. Get up here, say, hogwash. You didn't think I'd just, did you? You only fail. I can be as mean as a serpent. No, I'm as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. This one came into him and spoke. And he says it means within 3 days. Daniel 70 a week. Well, Brother Bill, that's too hard to believe. So believe it anyway. I make the best cheesecake in the country. Believe it anyway. You know I don't. Bill Smith got a gal in his church. She can make cheesecake like Lindy's never thought of. But she's never tasted my orange cheesecake or my mincemeat. You've been tasting fundamental hogwash cheesecake for so long, you know what good cheesecake is. Pope is not a place to tell a joke. But I'm going to illustrate what the fundamental person is alongside of a true believer. There was this school teacher. She had little Willie come to class every single day, and his mother never gave him a bath. And Willie began to aromate. There was a certain specific body odor about him that was a little bit disenchanting. So one day she wrote a letter to Willie's mother, and she said, Dear Madam, I hate to bring this up, but Willie needs a bath. Well, his mother was a genteel little Kentucky hillbilly gal. And so she couldn't answer that letter because this teacher was just absolutely out of her gourd that she should be so impolite and so ignorant even though she's a teacher. About the middle of the week, another letter comes. Dear Madam, you haven't complied Willie needs the bath terribly because the whole building is full of unacceptable aroma. A little water would help. So she said, I'll just ignore it because there are some people that really are ignorant. She's not a lady, so I can't answer her. The next week, the letter came again and said, Dear Madam, I must implore you and beseech you to listen to me. This is absolutely untenable. Willie must have a bath. Well, that got her. That got her. And the pulpit's no place to joke with that got her. So she took up her pen and she wrote, Dear Madam, Willie does not stink. He smells just like his dad. The only trouble you homemade school teachers is you don't know what a good man should smell like. That's exactly where you fundamentalists sit this morning. You don't know what a good man smells like. You don't know the scripture when it comes across you. If you're sitting in your seats in unbelief. You cannot tell the rose of Sharon fragrance that came by revelation from the manure, the vomit of fundamentalism. You still got your stinking robes on you and you could wash your robes and what came out of the seals. I'm hard on you. But I've got to be hard on myself. I've been taught this tripe all my life. If I have any ministry, it's one thing. God's given me a gift to give keys to the unfolding of Scripture, Alpha and Omega, the parallelism of Scripture. All these things that mean so much to people. And I'm telling you, I don't read books. I don't have to read them. They're in my hands. I've got a gift because God made me lazy. I don't have energy. I'm a typical sinner. I am just alive enough to get into all kinds of mischief like the farmer's pig and not enough strength to keep out of it. So are you. But I'm extra. But God is good with the gift He's allowed me to pick up certain things. And you know what I've found? The prophet never makes a mistake. Amen. Let me tell you what the prophet said about the tribulation. He knew what the oath of Columbus was. They rip you open and pour in brimstone and fire and God knows what. And he said, I would sooner have that perpetrated upon me than 5 minutes in the great tribulation. See, people cannot smell the word. They're so full of the stench of humanity, and it smells good. Hey, look, if you don't like attar of roses because you've been cleaning out a barn, Atlas's barn, for years, don't blame the attar of roses. Clean your nose out. Learn what a breath of fresh air is. Learn what the prophet said. He said, within 3 days, Christ was crucified on Friday. That's a part of it. Saturday's a part of it. Sunday's a part of it. Within 3 days. And that he never knew one thing about archaeology. Let me assure you, I knew William Branham. Before God, I know that I'm right. And this is the white throne. As right as I can know, William Branham knew for nothing about this. I've seen him time after time make 100% pertinent presentation. Hey, can God make a mistake? You know what that is? That's Shekinah glory. That's not even God. You won't find the word Shekinah in the Bible. It's an expression of the Jews, which means the glory, which is attendant upon the personal presence of God. He is present. If that's present, God is present. That old brother Vernon Moore went down there to a wedding. He didn't come to church. He missed the boat. He might as well have come to church instead of a stupid wedding. Well, I'll take that back, whatever it was. The preacher down there that Brian knew, went to preach for him. He said, oh, I believe in the presence. I believe in the presence. He didn't believe in our presence. So they got talking. They said, well, the proofs of the false doctrine. He said, by the way, do you know what the word means? They said, no. You're talking about manure smellers. Puke eaters. And now they're connoisseurs of cheesecake. Oh, brother. You're like the old Jewish lady. That she's sick in a hospital and her son had made a lot of money. So he thought, well, I'm going to be nice to mama. So he bought her this Bugala, or something kind of caviar. What is that caviar that starts with D? Hey, here we got no connoisseurs here. Gee, I don't like this stuff myself. Anyway, he brought her this very expensive caviar, the dark eggs, you know. And when later on he came, mama, how did you like the caviar? Caviar. Oh, she said, son, the black currant jam was good, except it tasted like fish. I hunt them fundamental fish eaters. Yeah, they don't believe what the prophet says. They don't take his language. Like I told you, Brother Branham said Eve caused the interruption, and I said, oh, Brother Branham, you mean eruption. Hogwash, he meant eruption. He meant interruption. Who's going to stop God from having his way? Oh, hey, that William Branham, he was something. You know, I wish he was here today. I would cut loose with the Pentecostal shindig. I wouldn't worry about shutting because they didn't have the victory. I'd have William Branham, that's victory enough. He said, why about Jesus? Well, how did the guy get back here? If you don't receive whom he sends, you don't receive him.
Amen.
Last time the Bible said, you shall know I am the Father and you and me and I and you. And you turn down him and you say you got that? Hey, come on. Oh, bless God, Brother Bill. I got 4 credit cards and $1 million in the bank. And I can really write those credit cards. Next month I come by and you're in the jail because you ain't got no money in the bank. That's what I mean. Say, well, hey, this is Shekinah glory. God's there. Holy said, hallelujah. I feel the pillar of fire standing up inside of me. What's in the pillar of fire? Oh, good question. God! You know, I keep telling you this, but there's one thing that, ooh, it cuts me to ribbons. Well, you know, Brother Dale, I've got the Holy Ghost too. And you know, Brother Dale, the Lord did this and the Lord did that. Oh, yes, Brother Dale. And all I can do is just stop and say, hey, bud, let's sit down for 30 minutes and talk it over. Let's compare notes. Vision to vision, prophecy to prophecy, healing to healing under doctors' noses. Discernment. Told you when one day I came in her home and I didn't know any better. You know, fools rush in with hobnail boots where angels fear to tread. So hobnail Dale just ran in. He said, never mind the angels, here I come. So I came in. And she said, you can't tell nothing about me. I said, oh yes, I can. Well, she said, ain't nothing wrong. Perfectly healthy. Well, I said, let's find out. I had more guts than you'd find in a slaughterhouse on a good day. Sit down. I laid hands and said, I said nothing wrong. She said one thing. How come every time you buy a new undergarment, you itch? Oh, she said, that's right. She wasn't sold. It was a sideshow. Brother Branham wasn't that kind of a guy. God was in the prophet. And that is the truth of Daniel's 70th week. I don't care if there is 1 year left, it is a week. But you see, there's 3.5 and there's a prophecy. And he went through his prophecy. Now listen to me. And during his prophecy, he proved that he was the prophet. The sick were healed, the dead were raised, the multitude were fed. He stilled the storm. He did everything under high heaven. He brought Lazarus out into a resurrection because Lazarus wasn't only dead, he stunk. He was decaying. He had turned to liquid. His nose had fallen in. If you think he wasn't dead, why didn't you go kiss him? I'm just honest. I'm vulgar, but that sometimes honesty is in vulgarity. Lazarus come forth. And you know what happened? They were so mad at Lazarus, history tells us they tried to kill him to get the evidence out of the way. Ooh, they're the nicest people. These religious people, they are scrumptious and sumptuous. They know every dirty, rotten trick in the book, and they'll do it. So they said to Jesus, "We don't like you. How come? What have I done? Didn't I give you loaves and fishes? Didn't I raise your dead? Didn't I help you?" "Oh," they said, "any amount of that, cousin, but you opened your mouth, and we don't like what you said." And what he said was prophecy.
Amen.
So now the prophet becomes Messiah. They kill him. 3.5 years. 3.5 to go. Now everybody's looking for the midst of the week. And the week is still extant, and it's only got 3.5 years, but it's still the week. So in the midst of the 3.5, what Brother Branham said is archaeologically, scripturally, by revelation, 100%. Thank you for your time. It's 11:28. When did I start? You were spellbound.